Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin.
And I'm Lisa Nkinoki.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Guess what I did this week?
What? Let's see.
I bought an electric bike.
Oh, no. An electric bike?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I was visiting someone on the Cape, and they had one. And so I tried it out. It is the best thing.
Is it?
It is. Because you know what you can do? You can ride it like as a regular bike.
Yeah.
Right? But here in Connecticut, we've got so many hills and everything that trying to get up those hills is just almost impossible.
So does it help you?
Does it help you? It's electric, man. I mean, you push this little thing and you just...
It just goes?
It goes. You get this burst of energy and up the hill you go.
So, I might have to get that.
So I'm kind of loving it. It really, it's a fun thing. So that's my big announcement. I just decided. But, you know, the big dilemma that I had after I bought the bike is, do I really have to wear a helmet?
Well, you do by law, don't you?
No, I don't think there's a law that you have to wear a helmet.
On a bike?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But anyway.
But it's probably safe. Remember Simon Cowell? Do you remember he was on his electric bike?
Yeah.
And got injured?
He did. Yeah, badly.
Yeah. That's the only thing that kind of scares me.
I know. So what I did was, but you know, I just remember the days of riding my bike for miles and hours and every day. And, you know, you never wore a helmet. But then again, you never wore a seatbelt.
That's right.
You know, so, and I'm here today to tell about it, to talk about it. So what I did was I ordered this helmet that looks like a baseball cap.
Okay.
And I got that. And when I went to get on my bike yesterday, my son FaceTimed me. My son, my 33-year-old son FaceTimes me from Florida.
And he said, Mom, what is that?
No, he said, I just want to make sure, I heard you riding your bike, that you have your helmet on. So my kid's checking on me to make sure.
Oh,
that I'm
wow.
Wearing. Isn't that kind of cool?
That's
to talk
cool.
about role reversal,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So how was that hat, though? Was the hat enough coverage?
No, yeah. It's still like a hard hat. It almost looks like a jockey hat,
okay.
you know? And
okay.
then, but it still covers your head, and I think it would, if you fell, probably keep you from cracking your skull open. Well, oh, I hopefully will not find out if it works
I
or
know.
Not.
You have to tell me. I'll
I
have
will.
To see. I might be able to just get up my hill, go get my mail on a electric bike because I won't walk down the hill.
There you go. Hey, it's good exercise still, I got to tell you. So it's just been a heck of a couple weeks,
yes.
hasn't it, Lisa?
Yes.
And, you know, I unfortunately or fortunately, you know, got a call from the city of Bristol asking me, you know, a couple weeks ago if I could help out with the tragedy that happened in Bristol where the two police officers, Sergeant Dustin DeMonte and Lieutenant Alex Hamsey, were ambushed and shot and killed while replying to a domestic. And then you had Officer Alec Arado, who really did a heroic thing, was
right.
shot and is now thankfully recovering. But took the suspect down. So it's just been one of those things. You know, it's my business, and I don't really talk about my business on this radio show, but I've been doing this now for 22 years mm-hmm. where, you know, people call me because when you get into a situation, especially something like this, right,
yep.
where this is made national news.
That's right.
I spent the entire day that Friday of the memorial service in the lobby at the Bristol Police Department with the whole crew from CBS Evening News.
Wow.
So there we're there. It was a national spotlight. Because it's just, you know, such a tragedy and such a horrible situation. And unfortunately, it seems to be happening
more and more. Right.
And with all this defund the police, lack of respect. So that's the tragedy in this. But there was a silver lining to the story, and we'll get to that in a little bit. You know, from the outside looking in, what was your impression of all the things that
well,
that
I
happened?
Mean, I know also just being in this business, you know, crisis management, people mm-hmm. don't ever think that you don't ever think that your whole city will be besieged with media, with the interest, but it's really people caring and wanting to know what's going on with the family, what's going on with the officers. I mean, I just was... you know, in awe of everything was just people were really heartfelt in terms of what they were doing, from the police that were going the processions to each of the funeral homes
yep.
to the fire departments and people going across bridges and people stopping to just pay their respects. I mean, I love our state because I do think we wear our heart on our sleeves. I think no one was not touched by this particular incident. I mean, people are still coming out in droves to make sure to go to Bristol to see. I think people that grew up there, that came from there, are trying to just find their way in terms of what is their connection. I do think that when you see what work that you've done, you don't see it. It's behind the scenes, but you realize that it takes more than just a couple of hands to right. know what to say, how to say it, mm-hmm. and just to put everything in order. You had, I love seeing at the memorial, the junior cadets, when they had the junior cadets that were a part of the ceremony. And also, I guess one of the officer had been very involved. I love seeing the some of the videos of the officers with the kids
at school, right.
which was so good that someone was able, and I think it was Mozzarella Productions, I think, had captured this to kind of make them more in touch with the community, which they obviously already were.
Right.
So I thought that was really profound to be able to see them actively touching people, to hear kids say, hey, he let me sit in his police car, or he told me, you know, that I'm going to be something one day. And even the gentleman who had the problem with alcoholism, who said that
he saved his life.
He saved his life, and he mm-hmm. said he was going to every year release balloons in honor of him. I mean, I think those are the things that's creating memories when you're alive. I think that's what it's about.
It is. And so, you know, these officers were very involved in the school community.
Yes.
Like you said, Lisa, they were school resource officers, you know, playing basketball, playing hoops, interacting with the kids. How are you doing today? They were a trusted face and you know, just like another classmate, if you will, in the hall. Ways of those schools, and at the memorial outside of the Bristol Police Department, which is still there today. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to the folks as to how long will that be there, and they said they're going to keep it there. The chief has decided he wants it there as long as possible, just because people are still coming.
Yeah,
you need to come, you need to grieve, you need to do whatever you need to do.
Yes.
And the letters from the school children, the personal letters written to these officers, you know, if you haven't had a chance to go see it, whether you knew these officers or not, it's just one of those things you need to see and experience. It really is an experience. So they've taken these letters, and the full front of the police department goes up three floors, all glass.
Yes.
And the woman there from the facilities department has been in charge of all this, taping up each and every letter, reading each and every correspondence that comes in, and hanging it up.
Wow.
Making sure that in the buckets there's water for the flowers, taking the old flowers out. And I want people to know too, if you're one of those people that's already been there,
yes,
and you've brought something, these things are not just being discarded. What they're going to do is they're going to take some of the things, some of the plastic and things like that, they're going to do compost, and they're going to make memorial benches.
Oh, wow.
Out of that material. And then with the flowers, there's a renovation project that's going on right now in downtown, will be going on in downtown Bristol. And they're going to take all the other things, and they're going to compost those and use that as part of the foundation for some of these places that will be built downtown.
Wow.
So,
that's
and then
great.
The money that's come in, you know, the funds, and I want people too to know about the funds, because there are two funds that if you, you know, just to support your law enforcement or just do a good thing, you know,
right.
it's getting towards the end of the year, there are two funds that are set up. One is the Bristol Heroes Fund, excuse me, and that's at Thomaston Bank. And that was set up by the Bristol Police Union, and that's going to support any of the officers impacted by the death of Lieutenant DeMonte and Sergeant Hamsey.
Wow.
So that's one. And then the other one goes directly to the families, and that is called Fund the First. And both of these campaigns have websites. You can find them on the Bristol website. You can find them on the police department's website. And that's going to go directly to benefit the families. And that was organized by the Police Benevolent Association. So two funds which continue to grow, the support and the heartfelt, you know, thoughts and prayers that have come from all over. I also found it interesting too, we talked about the school component, how many parents I saw with their young school children walking and explaining, reading,
yes.
looking. And I at first I thought it was kind of odd, but then I thought, No, these kids got to know. They've got to, you can't hide the stuff.
Yes. I remember as a kid myself, our bus driver was killed in an accident. And, you know, here he's driving our bus every day and then he's gone. And it was something that was so eerie, but so just traumatic. And you wanted to know, you wanted to understand, and it's kind of hard. So you have to kind of deal with it. And grief has no timeline, no time limit. So I think to be able to walk, let the kids see, to talk to them, I think is what you have to do. Otherwise, they just kind of don't really understand and don't get to really share their feelings of what is really going on. So I do think it's important. I know also, speaking of the Bristol community, the different people from ESPN to you see that sports teams from the Miami Dolphins, mm-hmm. New England Patriots have done things because both of the officers really were big fans of, in particular, football. So I thought that was great that they took busloads to the Patriots game. But first of all, the
Robert
Miami
Kraft
Dolphins
personally called the chief and said, I would like for you and your officers to come to the Patriots game.
Yes.
They got out on that field, and I talked to the chief after that, and he said, you know, it's the first time that we kind of got to smile, you know, that we could enjoy, you know, an experience, but not forgetting, but it was just such a wonderful tribute. And like you said, you know, Robert Kraft himself, you know, out he called and treated them to a day that they really did appreciate. So there's been so much outpouring.
And we can't forget the Yankees also did something too. And also, but really the Dolphins, I think it was Sergeant Hamsey was supposed to be at the Dolphins
yes.
game.
Mm-hmm.
And so in honor of that, the Dolphins picked right up, made sure to do something to honor him. So to see that type of outpouring, not just here locally, but nationally, how much impact, I think it really shows everybody that we all can make a difference. And just saying a prayer or doing something kind again, not just for the people that have passed on, but for other officers, for other family mm-hmm. members. I think we have a better understanding of just how many people this impacts when it's one officer. It's an entire family. It's an entire community. I think there, again, the Bristol community, a lot of the businesses, small businesses, were mm-hmm. doing things.
Still are. Yep.
They're still doing things for the family I saw in North Haven. They were doing a walk in the community. So it's just great to see people getting out with their families, doing things together. I think it's kind of woken up everybody to
the idea. If nothing else, what I hope is that it renews our respect for first responders and for law enforcement.
Yes.
For some reason, I don't know. Maybe it's the politics. I feel that a lot of us have lost that and been given the right to be disrespectful, which is never an option for me.
Right.
So to build that respect. And speaking of respect, I got to tell you, too, because we had a press conference about a week ago, and the press has been so respectful. They really have wanted to, you know, not dig into the investigation, what happened, what's going to change, because they're not talking about that. That's in the hands of state police.
Right.
That investigation is a separate thing that's ongoing. So to come and to know that these people have just lost their own, the media, I think the last time I saw that kind of respect and dignity on behalf of the press was probably Sandy Hook. It was the same kind of thing where they also are human and they understand the loss, and they had to walk by that memorial to get into the press conference. And if that doesn't slow you down and make
right.
you reflect,
right.
then nothing will.
Well, I loved how also the Bristol police chief, you probably worked with him on making sure to recruit new folks.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
you need new folks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what people are missing, that this job is so, it's more than just a public servant, and people give of their life. And I think what we need is more people like these officers, these young officers. We need more people to step up in our communities, and that's one of the things that I think people sometimes miss. It's one thing to just who are we expecting to do this? We need to step up ourselves or encourage other people to do honorable jobs mm-hmm. like police officers, like firemen.
Right. I kind of look at it like Ukraine, right? Mm-hmm. It's a call to service, and that is what's happening, Lisa. We're
yes.
seeing it right now, because that was one of the key messages in that press conference, is we need officers. Statewide, there's a shortage, and people are stepping up. It's maybe been in the back of some people's minds,
right?
But now they're thinking, you know what? Now's the time. Now's the time that I want to get involved and give back to my community, and people are doing it. So that's another great message, is if you want to serve your community and do that, go ahead. Go to the websites of any municipality in our state.
That's right.
And there are, you know, help wanted signs everywhere.
And it's never too late, because I know quite a few people who have had a whole nother career who decided, hey, I might be 40 or 50, but you know what? I'll go for it. I'll try this. And I think that's what we should never put a time limit also on, the idea that it's too late to start a new chapter.
No, it isn't. You know, it's interesting. It's kind of similar. My father, who moved out here from Colorado, started being a corrections officer at 50.
Wow.
At 50, they called him Rusty because he was old, you know, 50 years old. But, you know, he put in 12 years.
Wow.
You know, and he loved it. He loved that job and the benefits and the friendships that he made, not with the prisoners, but with the fellow officers.
Yes.
Really did change his life.
Wow.
So there is something to be said for that profession. And again, our utmost respect to all those out there. It was also interesting, as I sat in the lobby, you know, because CBS News, it's not just bring a camera and a light and here comes the reporter. I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It was like 48 hours or Dateline or one of those things. I mean, just the equipment that they set up and the preparation that went into that. But while we sat there, the stories and the people that we saw coming in, I remember this one little old man with his little cane walking into, because they could go to the front desk, right? And he gave a contribution in an envelope, and he said, "This is all I have for today, but I'm hoping to come back again tomorrow." And he just started bawling. He just started crying. He was just so upset and so hurt, and was also touched by these officers in the community. And it was just heart-wrenching. The people that walked in with their children so they could hand them, you know, their letters and their notes and their little things. It was a reality check. It was kind of a good thing. It was just sitting there and watching and reflecting and seeing how different people respond and what the impact was. And now what they're doing in Bristol, which is really cool, is a lot of businesses and homes are putting blue lights.
Yeah, I did see that.
On their homes.
Lights.
They're like sold out of blue lights across the state of Connecticut. But, you know, there's always Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Put in for those blue lights. And that's what they're doing now, is everybody is putting up blue lights.
Wasn't it like Lowe's or Home Depot, one of the big box stores said that they were going to give out the blue lights in honor, and it's kind of taken off where people have their blue lights on.
Right. There's drone footage now of at nighttime. If you go over the city or you drive through the city, it's amazing.
Yeah,
what a great idea.
That is a great idea. It really is cool. Yes.
You know, you keep them up over the holidays. Why not?
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, the question is now, you know, where do we go from here? And that's what everybody's, you know, got to figure out. And now we just had a firefighter that was killed today in a car accident. So here we go again. And it's the, you know, these officers really rally around each other and support each other. And, you know,
well, that was a real terrible one, too, because he was on the side of the highway and he was out and another car crashed into him, which then, you know, he was, you know, just not even thinking he's going to be into something.
One year on the job.
Yeah.
Young man.
Yeah, I think he was 27 or something.
Yeah, young man. And, you know, the chief said that's all he wanted to do was to be on the fire department. And he was there for, I don't even think it was a year yet. And look at this tragedy. So now we're going to see this all over again.
Yeah. And as we're talking about, you know, community service, I know also Supreme Court Justice Luby Harper just won an award. And I think there was an editorial in the newspaper yesterday, and he talked about the need for us to give of ourselves, the community service. I think above and beyond everything, we need to inject civility back into our communities, into our world, into our lives. And the only way we can do it, we can't expect other people to do it. We have to do it. We have to be the North Star that starts to make a difference, to be able to, you know, talk to our neighbors, to be able to go out and help other people and not just assume that someone else is going to do it. We have to really get back to the basics of, you know, helping our neighbors, helping our friends, and helping people that we don't know, if we can be of assistance, you know, not just at Thanksgiving, not just at the holidays. We need to be thinking about this as a way of life.
Right. You know, what's kind of interesting? They have these on Facebook now, Buy Nothing groups in your community. So, for example, I'm on Buy Nothing Windsor.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So when you have things, like recently I just went through and washed. I have too many blankets. So what you do is you take pictures of these things and you put them up there, and people ask you for the things. They don't pay anything.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear
it's
that.
It's really cool. So-called
buy nothing.
Buy nothing. Yours would be buy nothing, your community.
Whatever time. Okay.
Right. So it's really, you talk about giving back, because there's so many people that need the simplest things. And I got to admit, I've even saw a couple of things on there. I'm like, oh, I could use that. So I'll say, oh, if I'm chosen, I would love to have that. And sometimes I get chosen. Like, I need more stuff, right?
Okay.
But you also see on there just the stories. The other night there was one that says, does anyone happen to have a few gallons of gas? I'm really short right now and I got to pick my kids up from school. And there she had a picture of her five kids.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. Someone else was having surgery and just needed some help, maybe, you know, tidying up her house a little bit. And someone volunteered that service. So it's not just giving away free stuff. I think everybody's in that purge mode now, right?
Yeah.
If I don't need it, I'm getting rid of it and I'm going to give it away to somebody that I feel good that can use it.
Yeah.
And it's just such a cool thing. So it's, if you got to sign up and they've got to accept you, but it's called Buy Nothing, and then whatever community, you have to live in that community, and it's just a great opportunity. People will have, you know, non-perishable food items. Sometimes I've seen people now with the holiday coming up, they're putting together an entire donation of a turkey dinner for a family.
Oh, wow, that's good.
So it's really, really a nice thing to do, and it makes you feel good about knowing that your things that you thought were just priceless are going to a good home.
Because, that's good. I love that idea.
Yeah, it is really good. So again, I want to give folks, you know, these two different funds are still going, the Bristol Heroes Fund and the Fund the First. There's explanations on what each of those funds goes for. You can go onto the Bristol Police Department website and or the City of Bristol's website, and all the information is there. So this is a story that's not over. It's just been so interesting to see how people have responded and people have reacted. And I just hope we don't forget it. Sometimes this stuff, I think it wears off. We're nice for a little bit. It's like when you go on vacation, right? You come back and you're all relaxed and you feel good, and you change your mindset and you change how you're going to proceed. And then...
But I think people are really... I know it still stands in my mind that there is a child yet to be born.
I know.
And there are children here. And I think... And families, just in general. Nobody's to be diminished in this, the wife's... but I do think that you think about, wow, those kids, you know, being there to support that mom and just those people, to give them a big hug. You know, that's what I think is on your mind, that, you know, it's a day-to-day thing. And it even is. Where one family was very public and another one wanted to just kind of be more private, but understanding that at the end of the day, wanting everybody to have a chance to feel like they're part of it. And I think that was what was great, Rensselaer Stadium, being able to open that up for other people to come if they wanted to, having it on TV so you could watch it and be a part of it. Hannah Storm leading it, you know, and ESPN donating, again, the efforts of their talent and their staff. I just think there's not enough that we can do. I just hope that, not just in this case, but in other cases again, that we don't always wait for a tragedy
to give back.
To give back and to get together, to show up. You know, I think it's something that we all want to do, but fortunately, if we can be more proactive instead of reactive. Mm-hmm.
And don't wait for a tragedy to hit to do that.
Yeah.
I also saw in the news the 100 Club. Do you know what the 100 Club is?
No, I don't.
They're very low.
Oh, for the police.
For the police.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, they're very low profile.
Yes.
They don't put out press releases. They don't, you know, shout from the rooftops all the things that they do. But they did go on television yesterday. I saw a story where they're going to, you know, take care of the college educations for these kids. They're going to see the families through the rest of their lives.
Wow.
That's what they do. And you talk about wanting to give back, even join an organization like that.
Yes.
If law enforcement is something close to your heart, there are organizations out there that you can join and be a part of. You don't just have to do this by yourself as an individual. There are groups out there doing good things. There's so many that it doesn't take a lot of time and energy. And to be part of something like that, I think, is also priceless, especially as we get closer to the holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up.
Veterans Day is coming
Veterans
up.
Veterans Day, yes. We can't honor our veterans. We can't forget about that. Yeah. Absolutely. And don't forget the election. Vote.
That's right. Go out and vote.
Get out there and vote.
Make it your job.
Absolutely.
Use your voice.
Yes. Yes.
Nicely. Use your voice. I should say. Use it nicely, but make sure you utilize your right to vote.
It is a right, and it is a privilege.
It's a privilege.
So I think really the moral of our story today, Lisa, and this conversation, hopefully it rubbed off on some people out there, and hopefully you're going to get up and do the next right thing. That's all we can do.
Show up.
Show up.
Show up nicely.
Be part of it. Give back.
That's right.
Say, well, I don't have much to give. Everybody's got something to give.
We've got something.
We're not just talking about money here. There's always something that you have.
Of yourself.
Of yourself that you can give to somebody else.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And of course, we couldn't do this without all of you tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.